Welcome back to another episode of the Nationwide Podcast. And this episode is especially special for me because I know this guest personally. This is the lady who is responsible for me actually being able to walk in heels without falling down. But I'll go ahead and let her introduce herself.
Hello, everyone. I am Simone Williams. I'm 24 years old. I am an advocate for children with special needs, as I am an educator in the space, as well as a pageant queen who started modeling around the age of 16. And so far, it has taken me overseas. It's given me many opportunities, and I'm here to share that today with you.
All right. Thank you so much for being here with us today. And you are a lot of things. Real enough things. Pageant queen, as you said, a teacher, a dancer. And when we met, you were the former St. Philip ambassador. And that's where she taught me how to walk in heels. Yes. But with all of these different titles, all of these different roles, how would you describe Simone? Who is Simone?
Okay, so Simone is a fun-loving individual who's very kind-hearted, as she always goes above and beyond to help others, whether that be in walking in heels, whether that be children, as I do really do love children, specifically in special needs. Definitely very artistic and creative, as I do find it very therapeutic to express myself through unorthodox ways, whether that be through speed painting, as I am a speed paint artist, or fire dancing, because I am a cultural ambassador. So I would say a fun-loving individual who's very kind-hearted and very expressive.
Okay, great. Teaching. What got you into being a teacher and specifically teaching special needs children?
So fun fact, I actually did not plan to go into teaching at all. I remember I was overseas for about 6 months. And when I had just came back to Barbados, my best friend, he had told me that where he teaches, which is Derek Smith Secondary Vocational, we had openings, well, temporary openings, and he thought that I would really fit the job in that I'm very kind-hearted, I teach, and well, I'm very good at explaining things. So I went, which was only supposed to be one term. I went for one term, and they were like, oh my God, we love you, and we need to keep you, the children, they love you. We need to keep this going. What can we do to ensure? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I didn't go on teaching one time because I was into sales at that time. So I was actually selling insurance at the time. However, I think about 2 years later, I really wasn't doing too well with the sales and what's not. So I decided that, you know, I was going to take a step back, look at things that I really did excel in, and they still had the opportunity open. So in reapplying for the teaching job, I got through, and so far I've met so many different children. It has definitely been a growing experience because the children who I had taught at the time already graduated.
Okay.
So I think it was like a four-year difference. But overall, I would definitely say that it has been an eye-opening journey and an eye-opening opportunity that I do not regret.
Mm-hmm. Going to the, you know, teaching special needs children, tell us about that.
I definitely learned a lot about myself. Mm-hmm. It does require a lot of patience. Mm-hmm. And recently I would have, I guess, understood that there are different levels of patience. Mm-hmm. So whereas my primary group would be arts and craft, because I do teach arts and craft, it is usually 18 years and up. So I taught between 18 to about 37. Okay. And it's more so about understanding, okay, I'm going to teach you this way. You understand that your capacity can't, you know, grasp certain concepts. So I'm going to be patient with you and I'll walk you through these concepts until I know that you're decent enough to continue without my assistance.
Yeah.
So when you're dealing with higher age groups, that's normal. However, there was a time and period where I had to teach 11 to 13 year olds. And it threw me for a loop for a bit, because it's now not just understanding that these people don't grasp these concepts. It's understanding that they're still growing.
Right.
So you have to be patient with them to understand that, you know, you're going to mess up. And this isn't just schoolwork. This is character development. You're going to mess up. And I have to be patient with you to understand that you're going to mess up again. And I have to walk you through the process probably 10 more times, you know, And it definitely taught me that there are different levels of patience. There are different ways of communicating. You have to really understand the character, what drives them as a person to get through to them. Because just because they're disabled doesn't mean they're enabled. You just have to find the creative tip that works for that specific child. So it definitely has been a journey as it relates to patience. But I don't regret it.
I love that.
Definitely don't regret it.
I love that. And I can imagine you've had so many different experiences from teaching.
Yes.
What are some of your favorites? What are some of the highlights in your teaching career?
So I guess one of my favorites would have been, he's currently a pastor. I don't know if he would have graduated last year. I'm not going to call his name. But he definitely had a few issues as it relates to vision. Mm-hmm. So if he thinks something is here, it's actually over here. And he couldn't really use his hands. So his motor skills weren't there. But I definitely did work with him as it relates to theory. Really, he was, you know, one of those cool kids, you know, I don't have to do this. My mom can work for me, you know, I can got money. But then eventually in working with him, I actually found, you know, certain things that he liked. And so much so that he actually became one of my best students in sewing. It's actually kind of contradictory because, you know, he can't use his hands. He can't, you know, he can't stitch a straight line. But at any part on the sewing machine, he knows it. He knows its functions. He's probably the best student. He can recite anything, even to know. Where I would have recently saw his mother a few weeks ago. Okay. She's like, he really misses your class. You don't like school.
That's sweet. Fair.
He misses your class. And she was trying to figure out if there were any ways I could do like outside lessons with him and what's not. Because the want to participate in something is there.
Yeah.
It's just the person to really have that patience with him is not. And I would definitely say that is one thing that I am proud of myself because there are not many teachers who would have gotten through to him like that. Mm-hmm. But I still do feel a sense of neglect. Not for me, but there's not much that you can do for children after they leave school and they're not capable of doing certain things of themselves. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely one of my highlights. Yeah. Other highlights would be after parent-teacher meetings where parents would tell me, you know what, after their experiences in different schools, they can definitely see a difference in them opening up, them being more cooperative at home. And then when they ask them, it's like, you know, the environment at school feels very opening, very friendly, very comforting. And there are many bad, well, I don't want to say bad, but they're very heartbreaking stories where you hear a lot of teachers saying, oh, you're not going to do much. You never amount to anything. But when you actually give the children hope and a sense of belonging, you'd be surprised how much they can actually bloom. So there are many stories. There are many, many stories. But I would say giving children a sense of hope and a sense that they can restart and you can actually see a progressive change, that would be the most rewarding of my career.
And that's really beautiful because I think we can all relate to, we may not have enjoyed school or the academic side of school that much, but there's always a teacher or some teachers that we've always gravitated towards, that we've loved, that we've missed. And I love that you're that teacher for some people. That's beautiful. All right. So we're going to go from the teaching and into another aspect of your life. And a couple years back, you auditioned for Bish to the World, doing live painting.
Yes, I did.
And dancing.
I did.
Tell us about that because my head cannot wrap itself around how that even works.
Start your day with the Nation News ePaper. Enjoy the accessibility and new upgrades of the Nation News ePaper daily, whether on our mobile app or Nation News website. For added convenience, use our new audio read feature, which reads the newspaper aloud, or look in the archives for any publications you may have missed. Get your news, your time, your way with the Nation News ePaper and enjoy our new upgrades.
Okay, so I actually didn't know I could live speed paint. So it all started in, I would say, 2018.
Okay.
I auditioned for Barbados Talented Teens. And we had to obviously do a talent because it's a pageant. And it was recommended that I do painting. However, painting just by yourself is very boring to watch. So we had to incorporate something. So I was assigned a choreographer. And from there birthed the live drawing,
okay,
usually done upside down, while dancing.
Huh.
It's a lot of calculated mumbo jumbo. But I did enter into BHTD World. I did find that BHTD World at the time wasn't really prepared for a talent like that because the judging seats, they weren't sure how to market.
Yeah.
Definitely at that time, I did need a lot of improvement because at that time, I wasn't really a dancer. I was very fluid, very rhythmic. Mm-hmm. You know, I could not look boring painting, but I can say that it has evolved as that is now my preferred talent when going to compete.
Wow.
So I recently came out from St. Martin and that was actually my talent and won best talent. Beautiful. So I did a painting honoring heritage and home, transitioning from slaves of Africa to being independent and outspoken women in the Caribbean. Mm-hmm. And I actually drew Mia upside down.
Whoa.
And it was really fun. So I would say the progression from BHTD to the world where people aren't able to grasp a unique talent to something actually being recognized on a regional stage where I can actually get best talent was actually, you know, I stuck it through and I feel like it was worth it. I definitely did. That's,
like, upside down is crazy to me.
Yeah, it does take a lot of practice. Mm-hmm. So usually trainings would range between 2 to 3 months.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I definitely have to practice, you know, things, drawing them upside down, drawing them time after time after time, practicing different paints, where goes what, to see, okay, when it turns upside down, is it lost? Mm-hmm. We have to ask a bunch of strangers on the road, what does this look like? Can you tell what it looks like? So it's a lot of trial and error. Mm-hmm. But when it does pay off, it is beautiful and immaculate.
So we are actually doing it. How long does it typically take?
I would say we try to tailor it to time limits. So I would say the shortest I would do would be 4 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, the shortest I would do is 4 minutes because obviously if you go over time, it is a reduction. We don't want any reductions. The one I've done recently is 5 minutes. The most I would go to is probably 15 minutes because it is very, you know, strenuous on the arms. Mm-hmm. As you can see, I have some nice muscles.
Very tall.
But I would say minimum 4 minutes.
That's great. Like painting Mia in less than an hour. Wow, fantastic.
I mean, it's not as detailed as you could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very strenuous and calculated.
Yeah, I can imagine. All right. So now we're going to get into The modeling.
The pageant queen.
Where did that all start? What got you into modeling?
Okay, so another fun story. You know, every girl has those moments where you're a little girl and you see your mom's high heels and you want to walk in them. And for me personally, I used to take her bed sheets and used to wrap them up in like little couture. I used to give her like little modeling shows in the house. And it started from there, but I did vary off from it for a while. When I was in secondary school at the St. Michael School, at the St. Michael School, there was the auditions for the model search.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I was quite a bit of a tomboy because I was
playing.
Yes, I used to play football and rugby, but the little girl was still screaming, you know, I want to try.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I was extremely horrible. I did not play. I did not play, but, you know, I still liked it and I wanted to continue. So despite not placing in the SMS model search, I did BMAX. I did multiple shows across the island. And it was only when I went to the Queen's College pageant, I saw this girl on stage. She was Dante.
And Aileen.
Dante. And I was like, oh my God, she's so gorgeous. I definitely want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And the next audition that I saw for a local pageant, I auditioned. Fun fact, she was in the same pageant. So I was oh my God. I'm doing it with the person that I'm looking up to. And I did pretty well. So I went from not placing to placing fourth among 12 girls.
Yeah.
So it was definitely a progression. And Dante did come, I think, first runner up at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So she definitely did deserve it, though, because she was
in
the space for longer. From there, I took a huge risk and I decided to do the adult pageant to the teen pageant that exact same year. I did have training at the time, and that you could definitely tell there was a 360 in from going from not placing to fourth to competing with the adults, and they actually won. So I guess it was life-changing in that there is a space out there for persons who want to express themselves but don't necessarily know how. There are people out there who are willing to invest in you. Might not be the ways that you think that they would invest, but time is definitely a great asset to invest. Mm-hmm. It may not be money, but it may be resources. It may be talent.
Yeah.
There's so many people that would have poured into me to help me get to that point. From there, unfortunately, COVID happened.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. COVID happened. But I did get to represent my island in the Easter Ball pageant, which was in Union Island, which is one of the Grenadines.
Sweet.
Unfortunately, I felt as though I was cheated from that pageant. Wow. Because we went to Union Island, of course, mm-hmm. but the representative would have, from Union Island, would have gone. Not saying that she wasn't a good contestant. She was a great contestant. Mm-hmm. However, at the end of the show, when we were asking for, you know, tallies of scores and whatnot, mm. they couldn't be produced. And a lot of these stories weren't really adding up.
Okay.
But it was a great experience. It was definitely a great experience. Would definitely do again. From there, again, because COVID, not many people were willing to invest in pageants. So for Barbados, pageants has really died down. There have been a few pageants here and there that tried to, you know, break past the struggle.
But not as much. Since but COVID happened.
Not as much. And it has been definitely a struggle since COVID. I did do this Miss Caribbean Beauty and Intelligence pageant in Guyana. And I can definitely tell you that it really did spark a kindle in my eye for pageants, because that was after the long break of COVID. So this was in 2025. And unfortunately, it was personally funded. As again, it was very hard to get sponsorship and support, but nevertheless, we rose on top. I would have definitely put together a team from the persons who would have worked with me from before COVID, and we were able to achieve great things. Last week, I did come out from St. Martin. That pageant, I definitely would say, was one of my hardest pageant experiences, in that it required a large budget to work with. Again, personally funded. I did reach out to several sponsors. I did get a few sponsors. I would say in total I had about 23 sponsors.
Okay.
But like I said, of the 23, 14 would have given in-kind sponsors. So like a lot of clothing boutiques, a lot of makeup artists, videographers, media personnel would have given sponsors, and about 7 would have given financial planning, which was definitely needed because pageants are not cheap. They're definitely not cheap. And in doing that, I think I did really good. So I actually placed 4th runner-up out of 9 girls. And for the amount of support that I was given, I think I did extremely well. The contestants would have won and placed top 3. You could definitely tell that there was a drastic difference in budget. But I would definitely say that it was a phenomenal experience. I think pageants give opportunities for tourism, the growth and whatnot, because when you see the support of other countries coming into your country for it is astounding.
Yep.
So I would say from not placing to coming to where I am today, it definitely has been a life-changing experience. And if you've met the Simone that she was at 16, she's definitely not the person that she is today.
Yeah. A big part of pageantry is, of course, the spectacle of it. You're out there, putting yourself out there for the world, and hundreds of eyes are looking back at you. How do you handle it and handle the fact that, you know, so many people are looking at you, are probably scrutinizing your body, etc.? How do you deal with that aspect of the pageantry?
Well, I think it comes down to self-confidence. So I know I'm very confident in myself. I'm not necessarily a rule breaker or a scandalous person behind cameras, because you do know there are a lot of people who have two personalities or two different lifestyles. I'm pretty consistent with my lifestyle. So I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't really go to parties. So for me, it's not hard, I guess, keeping up a facade.
Yeah.
In a sense, I do know that there will be people who judge you. There will be people who don't like you. I love myself, so that's completely fine. I know that there's nothing wrong in what I do. I always try to come from a kind-hearted place. I always try to help others. And whilst not, I do understand that there will be some false stories out there, and some people will believe false stories. But as long as I know that I'm doing what is right, and I feel comfortable in myself, and I can sleep at night because I know that I'm good, it's completely fine. I do find sometimes though that some things probably can rub you the wrong way, not necessarily from scrutiny, but from a lack of support. Whereas, you know, there's always a competition where somebody would prefer somebody else to win.
Yeah.
And that's fine. However, where people would go out of their way to, like, you know, rub it in your face, where I prefer this person to win, sometimes it's not the most emotionally intelligent thing to do, you know. But that's probably the only thing that would, I would say, rub me the wrong way, per se. But other than that, I'm very confident in myself. I do what is right, that I know is moral. I do, you know, read the Bible, I do pray, I do what I know is morally correct. So that's fine.
All that you do and everything you've achieved so far, what is next for Simone?
What is next for Simone? So currently I'm taking a break from pageantry. It's for a good reason. So as I said, it was personally funded. You know, if it wasn't a situation where, you know, the economy of Barbados is the economy of Barbados, and, you know, there were external funding, I would definitely go again. It is transformative, and it's not just for me. Any person who's done pageantry can tell you that it is literally the process of going through a cocoon and blooming into a butterfly. Unfortunately, this process does take a lot of coin, though. It really does. And I'm taking a break currently to rebuild my personal finances. And until I know that I can truly compete on a level that I know that is, Barbados can pose a threat to other countries, rather than, you know, oh, I'm just doing this a little goodness of my heart, and, you know, I just want to know, unless I know that Barbados is, like, really ready and I have that support and I have that funding, then definitely I would love to do an international show, whether that be Miss Grand International, Miss Cosmos, Miss International, Miss Supernational, who knows. As long as the funding is there, I would definitely go again. But for right now, we're going to take a step back. We're going to focus on Simone. I am working on launching a charity where I am aiming to help with the overall developmental process of the special needs children that I work with, specifically in technology, though, because I do find that we're using vocational subjects in cooking, art, agriculture, and woodwork. However, I do find that it is becoming a little bit obsolete, and we're going towards, you know, more AI-focused future. So something that makes them a little bit more involved with the current demand of the world of work. So yeah, I'm focusing on that. And, you know, if it can bloom into something that can also fund pageantry, then you can see me on the stage again.
For sure. What would you say right now, though, to the pageantry community?
I definitely think that we need support. Definitely think that we need support. And support doesn't only look like finances. Support can look like authentically wanting your country to win. So I'm going to share a story. So recently, in going to St. Martin, there were many other contestants, beautiful contestants, some of them extremely popular, some of them not. And there were several Barbadians who would have, you know, bold-facedly, like, you know what, I have this contestant to win. And they were like, you know, I'm going to repost this person's content. And you have your Barbadian delegate there, who's literally trying to, you know, promote herself and want her country. And I don't have a problem with, if that person is your friend, I don't know if that person...
Right.
But if you want to support both, that's fine. But to both basically do or be biased to one person, when your country is there, you can see that your country needs support. I do not think that that is very... It isn't the best emotionally intelligent thing to do. So I would say definitely support. And show genuine support, show genuine concern, and be your brother's keeper, and not just for say. Yeah. Actually showing your actions that you want the best for your community. For those who can support financially, give. Because tickets alone are sometimes close to $5,000. Yes. Outfits alone are close to $5,000. These things is not easy in this economy, and for all of those persons who are willing to give, thank you. But for those persons who can see and then would scrutinize after, it isn't doing your community any justice. So step up, play the part in your country. There is so many opportunities for young women, not even young women, youth in general, from pageants. And it may not be me, it may be somebody else in your community. If you see someone who is talented, if you see someone who speaks well, if you see someone who's giving back to their community, support them in some way, form, or fashion, because you do not know how investing in these people can come back and benefit you or your country. So again, support. Support doesn't only have to be finances, but do it from a genuine place. And that's it.
Mic drop moment. All right. I love that, Simone. And for sure, we will be supporting you and looking forward to all the great things that you will have, whether it is on stage or off stage. Yeah. We'll be supporting you too in whatever fashion that we can.
Thank you.
And for sure, thank you for coming through on the podcast. It was great having you. And to all our viewers, thank you as well for sticking with us. For sure, you can watch the podcast on YouTube, on the Nation website, or anywhere that you get your audio podcasts. Until next time, bye!